Tonight's Survivor Know-It-Alls is sponsored by Beachbody On Demand, the streaming health, fitness, and weight loss program. I've been doing Beachbody On Demand P90 for 10 weeks now, and I love it. You can be working out in the comfort of your own home. It's the most convenient way to get exercise and the only program I've ever found that I am actually keeping up with. You can try it for free anytime with a one-month membership by simply texting Rob to 303030. That's 303030 for 1 month free of Beachbody On Demand.
The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor Know-It-Alls. Survivor Know-It-Alls. Steve and Rob went out and down. Got the game all figured out. They know it all.
Yes, that's right. The Survivor Know-It-Alls are back once again. Episode or night number two of Survivor Game Changers. Stephen Fishback.
Oh, Rob, it's such an exhausting episode. Oh, I pulled it out. You didn't see this coming.
Oh, you pulled out the Knowing is Know-It-All trophy. Why? Yeah. Why is that? You had that hidden away and it was in your crotch like Troyzan? Is that what happened?
It was hidden at the podcasting challenge and I grabbed it at the last second, pretending to be exhausted. What an episode, Rob. I really enjoyed this episode. There's a lot of fun stuff. So much great stuff. Kind of interesting tribal council, but a lot of really interesting things happening through the episode.
Good. Well, great to be with you guys here tonight. Sorry we're a couple of minutes late. That it was really Stephen Fishback was just ranting for the last couple of minutes before we came on. Now JT decides to have mercy on a goat. Now he's not going to kill the goat. We got it. We talked him down.
I did not know where that was going. That's great. Okay. Well, that was such an interesting. That was such a fun debate. Such an interesting episode. That was one of the great moments. I guess we'll probably get there.
Yeah, I saw a lot of hate for the Goatgate scene on Twitter. I thought it was interesting.
Oh, really? What were people saying?
People were saying, this is boring, worst scene ever. Why did this happen? They didn't even eat the goat.
But everyone always complains there's not enough stuff about surviving. And like, these are the real questions.
And then on top of that, we have got a great week of podcasts all set to start off. Tomorrow, I will be speaking with a person who played for 38 days with one of the Game Changers. Johnny Fairplay will be back on the podcast with me, Stephen. And I didn't announce it this week. I didn't say anything because I was very worried all week long that Sandra was going to go home. And I didn't want people to say to me, you spoiled this episode for me because you had Johnny Fairplay on. And now I was spoiled because I knew Sandra was going to go home. So I was so happy when Nuku won immunity tonight.
Is this the return of Johnny Fairplay? I mean, it is the return of Johnny Fairplay. When was the last time you had Fairplay?
We had him on during Ko-Rong. He's mellowed out a little bit, so we can have him back on. But we'll get his take on everything going on with the Game Changers. And then Nicole Sesternino will be my guest on the voicemails. Her girl Haley had a close call. I was all excited for Haley to go home just to rub it in Nicole's face, her winner pick, on the voicemail show. But she stays, so Nicole can gloat about that on the voicemail show. So that's coming up in the next couple days. All right, so Stephen, of course, if you want to get all that stuff, you can subscribe to the podcast. Rob has a website.com/iTunes. Stephen, Haley versus Beast Mode Cowboy, I thought for kind of a ho-hum affair at Tribal Council, I did think that there were a lot of interesting points on both sides.
Yeah, and I think, Culpepper, I thought, had a great play, you know, in terms of like him wanting to be the center of the tribe. You know, he had that comment, I want to be everyone's best friend, right? It wasn't that exactly. It was like, I want to be the guy who's linked to Debbie. I want to be the guy who's linked to Ty. And, you know, getting rid of that other intermediary is a great move on Culpepper's behalf. I thought this was a great episode for Culpepper. Whoever imagined that would be happening, but this was, and a lot to talk about with kind of the way he got into Ty's head. I thought was phenomenal. So I thought it was a great move for Culpepper. Not sure if it's a great move for anybody else. Definitely not a good move for Ty.
Yeah, I thought that it was really fun to see how that played out, because I thought that Haley was going home for sure. I thought it sort of seemed like an open and shut case.
Right.
But you saw a lot of people making the case to Ty about, hey, like if we keep Caleb around, it's going to be a problem. And one of the things that we saw in the preseason was a lot of people were very concerned about this co-wrong four coming together, Steven.
Well, I mean, anyone who saw Cambodia, you know, the final five in Cambodia were all from two seasons. You know, three of the San Juan del Sur, was it all of them? Yeah, all of them, right? Got to the, yeah, all three of the
Jeremy,
the San Juan del Sur people
Keith,
got to the
and
end.
Wentworth, and then Wentworth, got Spencer to the final and Tasha.
And then, and yeah. and so two of the four from Cagayan got to the end. And, you know, I think if you're watching that, you have to take that lesson of, like, you know, you go into the game, you think it's new, you hope, and, you know, it's new. But those, like Debbie said, you know, those preseason relationships really are very deep. And I think that they all, you know, they made a good decision to get rid of one of those four.
Who do you give the credit to on this? I know that this is going to be a conversation for you and I of who's getting the fishy. But it was this Brad, or do you think that there was maybe a Sierra Dawn Thomas factor here?
I mean, I think you got to give credit to Debbie and Sierra Dawn. But I mean, you know, both of them were very clear about, you know, this is the right move to get rid of Caleb. He's, you know, tight with Ty. But I think the real finesse came from Brad in getting Ty to not only do that, but to decide to do that, you know, where, you know, you saw this conversation with Brad and Ty on the beach and, you know, Brad is basically agreeing with everything Ty says and yet somehow convinces Ty to turn on Caleb. And I thought that was great. He really put it in terms of, like, well, Ty, you know, yeah, I'd love to keep Caleb. I think we should keep Caleb. But for your game, Ty, for your game, we really need to get rid of Caleb. And I thought he did a great job of that.
Yeah, I did think it was sort of shades of Scott Pollard in a similar situation back in Koh Rong, where we saw Ty ready to make a move to save one of his allies in Anna, who was from the Beauty Tribe, and he was going to play an idol on her at Tribal Council. And then we saw Scott Pollard sort of pull Ty aside and say, no, Ty, this is a bad move for you. You gotta let her go. Stick with me. We're going places, Ty.
Now, do you think the problem is that Culpepper is having Caleb flashbacks? He was eliminated in Blood versus Water because another Caleb turned on him.
No, I don't
think
he's
an anti-Calebite.
No, definitely not. I'm sure that Brad Culpepper only has reverence for Caleb Bankston. I don't think that that's the case. Just a coincidence. Probably the bigger factor is the curse of Day 9 for Beast Mode Cowboy.
Yeah.
He can't get past it.
Can't get past it.
It's interesting. I would love to see, and maybe I'm sure one of our listeners can figure this out, like survivors that get eliminated on the same day.
Savage got eliminated in Cambodia on the same day that he got. I think it actually happens a surprising amount of times.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just like coincidence over, you know, a certain number of people is always going to like lead to that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's only 39 days. But that's Francesca. She too is one of these cursed day peoples.
I don't know, though, because she was on Redemption Island too. So I don't know if I can. I don't know how we factor that in.
But yeah. So just going back to this, I also want to give a lot of credit. I thought that Haley Ford was remarkably strong in that tribal council and the lead up. Do you think that she, am I giving her too much credit? I thought she was fine.
I mean, I thought it was good. I thought she was good. Right. I thought it was very clever when Caleb was like, I'm a strong player and you want to be with me. And she's like, yeah, who wants to be with a strong player? You want to be with a, you know, a weak player like me, you know, like he was dissing her and she like turned it around. I thought that was great. Very lawyerly as Culpepper, Culpepper said.
Yeah. I thought she had two really great moments. I thought that was one where, you know, he's talking about I am the better player. And she's like, yeah, he's right. He is.
Yeah,
that was really good. I really do think that's wrong. A lot of people don't do that. I think that the rookie move is much more to say, like, what? How dare you insult me? Like, I'm a great player. You try, like, you watch me go. Nobody tells me I don't know how to play the game. And then also when he talked about how he doesn't have any allies in the game, and she just, again, was like, are you sure?
Like, what a weird remark. I don't even know who she was referring to.
Well, I'll tell you exactly who I think that she was talking about. I think that there is a lot of Malcolm trepidation going on.
Okay.
And I think that that is something that's been talked about, that Caleb is a right-hand person for Malcolm. And I think that there is some forces gathering together against Malcolm. And I think that they're saying, let's take out one of his lieutenants. And then also, because Ty is so wishy-washy.
Where are we seeing that? Like, forces against Malcolm?
Because I think that if you're where Brad is and you're saying, okay, I'm going to build my team out of my Nuku people, who's our main adversary over on Mana? Who are you looking at over there?
Why would you arbitrarily pick Malcolm?
Well, I mean, who are you the most worried about over on Mana?
I don't know, I guess,
from the original starting tribe, I'm sure over those first 6 days, I'm sure they're looking at that. Okay, that's Malcolm's tribe. Maybe they're sort of focused on Sandra, but I think that probably that the person that you would sort of think is the face of that group, now that Tony was gone, was going to be Malcolm. I don't think that Sandra, like, you worry about her as a figurehead in any sort of way like that. And so for Brad and I think Sierra, I think they were looking at, okay, well, this is a number from Malcolm's side, and let's weaken his group going into the merge. Because if you're thinking...
It's also very possible that Ty... Right? Because we saw Caleb tell Ty, hey, I'm tied with Malcolm and whoever else.
Jeff Varner. Right. And you think, and Varner, Ty, I think, tends to pass a lot of information around. And so by doing that, if Caleb was tight with Malcolm, then you could easily envision a scenario where now Caleb and Ty become a pair. And if Malcolm comes back into the mix at the merge, that Malcolm not only picks up Caleb back, but also takes Ty, who was one of your numbers. So I do think that this ended up being a very shrewd move. And I'm very interested about the relationship, because we made so much about the people in Koh Rong that are together. Here's Sierra Dawn Thomas and Haley Ford, who just, like, reject outright, oh no, we have no relation. Yes. We did play in the same season, but it's not like them. They played in the same season together and they were friends.
We played
and we had nothing in common.
Yeah, which is crazy. Like, they were on the same beach for, you know, almost as long as Ty and Caleb were on the same beach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that if there really was an issue there, I think that you would have seen more of Sierra Dawn Thomas saying, like, hey, let's get rid of Haley. I think that while there may not be a great friendship there, there is certainly a working relationship between Haley and Sierra Dawn Thomas.
And I think that's the real threat of these big group seasons, is less like who's super tight allies with whom, and more like who just feels comfortable. And I mean, you know, not to go back to Cambodia, but I think it's a really good example of this real phenomenon where you have – you know, Keith and Jeremy aren't allies in Cambodia, you know, and Wentworth isn't allies with Jeremy, but, like, they all know each other. They're all comfortable with each other. If Jeremy's going to vote out Wentworth or Sierra, he's going to vote out Sierra. You know, if Keith is going to, there's just that level of, like, sort of like operational familiarity. That's a real big edge in the game.
Yeah, and if Brad is really concerned, and Sierra is really concerned about this Koh Rong group, I mean, this is a huge tribal council for that, because if you end up taking out Haley, all of a sudden, you have relinquished control of that tribe to the Koh Rong 3 over on that new Mana tribe in Debbie and Caleb and Ty. They have the controlling votes if they want to send Brad out at the next tribal council, if they so choose, or Sierra, if they so choose. Now, Brad still maintains a lot of control there between him and Sierra, and whether it's Haley, whether it's Ty, whether it's Debbie, whoever is. But I do think that the power rests with Brad and Sierra in that group.
Yeah, it sounded like it. It sounded like the Ty, Brad, Sierra group was tighter, right? Because when Ty was talking to Caleb, he was like, I talked to Brad. I haven't spoken to Sierra yet, right? They were like, oh, let's get rid of Debbie before we get rid of Haley. So it sounds like Debbie might be a little bit more on the outs from that trio of Sierra, Brad, and Ty.
Right. But that would they have options, though? Because, like, let's say hypothetically that the next time around that Brad and Sierra, for whatever reason, say, you know what, Debbie needs to go and Ty's not on board. As long as Haley is on board, they have some different ways that they could go for that third position over there. Let's talk about some of these other tribes. And let's talk about your boy, JT. He really ended up on the wrong side of the numbers. I don't know if we've ever seen before where we end up with a tribe swap where it's 5-5-1, maybe not since Amber Berkich Mariano back in Survivor All-Stars.
No, didn't.
And that wasn't even 5-1.
Oh, yeah. I guess it's like it's been 2 a lot. I don't think it has been 5. Yeah, 4-2 was all 3 tribes on in Cambodia.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, Sarah Lucina was 3, ended up 3-3-1.
Oh, but that's a totally different scenario. That's a great position, 3-3-1.
Right.
The 5-1 is as bad, is really as bad as it could be, you know, like, cause you've got no leverage. At least if it's 4-2, like, you get one person to kind of come over to your side and then you've got some leverage. 5-1 is as bad as it could be. I felt as bad for JT as I did for that baby goat. But how much fun. This had to be one of my favorite scenes of all time. That raft scene where he takes the 5 of them out into the middle of the ocean and then swims back and they're all just like chilling out. And for a minute, they're like, Varner's like, man, we really pulled one over on JT, us getting to hang out and go fish, you know, and before they realize, oh, no, wait, we're the dupes here.
It was a real caper. I have to give credit to JT. It was a very funny. It was like a scene out of a movie, and that he's like going through everything while they're at the party. Like, he's going through their wallets in their coats in the other room. But ultimately, the search did not bear any fruit.
I don't know. First of all. Right. You search in one place. That means you don't have to search there again. And there's, you know, that's one place down of searching. Right. Like, searching is not just like a discrete activity. It's like a progressive activity. So by searching, you enable better later searching. But, you know, furthermore, just the very fact that he's had these 2 hours to go looking for an idol means that they have to worry that he has an idol. And that can give him some leverage down the line. You know, no one can say for sure JT doesn't have an idol. We've been keeping our eyes on him this entire time. You know, we've been tracking him through the woods. There's no way he has an idol. There's a big block of time that they can't account for.
Yeah, no, that's very fair. And especially in this tribe of 6, where how are you going to split the votes here? Okay, you have 5, and then it's like, okay, let's put 3 of our votes on Aubrey. Like, oh, wait, we need her to put her vote on somebody. So it is potentially a tricky spot for those people. And we could see how that bears out, because next week we have in the preview, we're going to see 2 tribes go to tribal council, Stephen, when you and I are together live at Caroline's on Broadway. What luck? Yeah, we've never had that before where we have 2 tribal councils to break down and a know-it-all. So that's really perfect timing.
Yeah, yeah.
So excited about all that. Let's talk about the
goat team. So it sounds like you're not as bullish. I don't know why I'm like waving around my glasses wipe like it's a flag. You're not as bullish.
Yeah, Tony didn't tell you to clean your glasses again, did he?
yeah. I'm seeing crystal clear. No, this is the proof. This is the proof that these glasses are clean. You're not as bullish on JT's raft maneuver.
I mean, I thought it was more fun than effective. I would prefer to see JT winning these guys over with his social game rather than ransacking the beach.
I just think I'm sure he's also winning them over with the social game. You know, that's the stuff that doesn't make the air. With the ransacking the beach is the stuff that makes air.
But I think ransacking the beach makes it harder to win people over with the social game. It's like the Tony factor, where Tony is, you know, potentially putting people at, unease, where now it makes his job harder to make people feel comfortable again.
5-1 is not a great position to be in. You know, I mean, I think you got to go. You got to take the edge you've got. I thought the fact that he made this big edge for himself to like go look for the idol.
Right.
You know, that could save his hide.
Right. But if Aubrey finds the hidden immunity idol tomorrow, then, you know, it's all over for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I want to talk about this group, and I want to talk about the goat scene, because I know people like looked at it like face value and ended up saying, OK, this was dumb. Why was this in the show?
So what were people saying? What is wrong with people? This is like freaking
They
gold.
Want action, action, action.
This is action. They captured a goat and had to debate the morality of killing it when next to its mother?
Or, yeah.
You know.
So will you talk this through?
So what do you mean?
Why did you like this scene so much?
Okay, I like the scene because, you know, this, first of all, I mean, they managed to catch a goat, right? A mountain goat on the mountains. You have Malcolm and JT like managing to entrap a goat. That's action there. But it's also like real survival, right? Like you hear all the time, oh, they don't have to, you know, they never show us them surviving anymore. It's just strategy all the time. This is that real life stuff where like they catch this goat, they're starving. And then suddenly this conversation exposes all of the different ways that people see things differently. You know, you have JT, who's a cattle rancher, and yet is still saying, you know, like, I don't want to kill a mama goat.
I thought that was odd. I thought that JT, that seemed out of character for JT to not want to kill a goat.
Well, I mean, just because he's like a cattle rancher doesn't mean he's like some like bloodthirsty like goat murderer. You know, he respects life. You got to respect life to like breed life, right? Versus Sandra, who literally thinks, and I actually think there's a level to which if you're not working with animals every day, you can kind of get divorced from like the life of the animal, right? You know, Sandra says like these animals are literally just here for humans to eat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's interesting to see that juxtaposition.
Yeah. And I do think that you can sort of squint and see sort of like the anybody but me philosophy, sort of like, of course, I need this, you know, I need the sustenance to eat. But I thought that the most intriguing part of this was that you have Jeff Varner there, who a long time ago in a completely different galaxy, or at least a continent, way back in the Kucha tribe in Survivor Australia. I almost said Australian Survivor, God forbid. But in Survivor Australia, Stephen, or the Australian Outback, he was there when one of his tribe members, who will go nameless, that person came back and killed a boar. And it was a whole big thing on the show. It was a big scene of that Mike went out and killed a boar in the tribe. And people were like, wow, what a survivalist. But he got himself into a lot of trouble even then, because there were people from PETA and animal rights activists that really came after him. And I may be recalling the stories wrong, but I remember like there were times when I want to say that people like confronted him in public about this. And I know back from my season, Stephen, we were told that you couldn't even hurt any land dwelling animals. Do you think is it possible that production says no killing the goats?
I mean, it sounded like they had a real debate about it. I mean, I can see that, you know, it did seem like they actually voted, right? And that there was a very strong vote in favor of eating the goats. If they all sort of were like, oh, let's like let him free, you know, I think maybe that in that case I could see that. But I'm sure that was weighing on their minds too. Like, do I want to be the guy who kills a goat?
I mean, Jeff Varner certainly knows that there were all sorts of problems for Mike, even then, when he killed the boar.
Right. No, I'm sure that was like on their minds, right? And, you know, which is great about Sandra, too. She's like, I don't care. I want to eat.
Yeah. It's like, whatever.
I mean, it was such a great scene. It was so revelatory of, like, these different people, you know? I just thought it was so, like, how else do you see character come out, you know, except through these, like, wonderful moments.
And what a break for them also to not have Ty on that tribe and then have all the chickens.
Seriously, can finally eat. Now, would you have eaten the goat?
No, I wouldn't have. I mean, so you have all these chickens there. I mean, if it was a last resort and you were starving, they have so much food and they have all of these chickens there.
You would eat a goat if it was like a normal male goat, right? Like a
on Survivor or in like a restaurant?
No, on Survivor.
No, I would not be a part of going in and killing an animal on the show. That I don't need any of that noise, Stephen. I got enough.
I might do it if it was like if there was not like a mama baby situation. I'd probably be pro eating goat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because like why you eat it at a restaurant?
Sure. But I think that when they show you slaughtering an animal on national television, I think that's not a good look for anybody.
I killed a chicken on. I mean, it didn't make air, but like, why does the goat have some more epistemological worth than, you know,
mammal,
chicken,
mammal.
All right.
look, it's a different thing. People get mad about that. I don't know the animal hierarchy. You could kill a chicken on TV. They get mad if you kill a mammal. That's the thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's talk about the other tribe, the new green tribe. I want to call them Ikabula, but they're not. So we'll just call them the green tribe until we get to
Green tribe. I wrote down there Takua or something.
Who knows?
What do you think of this tweet? This is the third time they've done the, like, you have to start over tweet. I mean, part of it is logistical, right? If they want to do three tribes, someone's got to build a new camp.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, I do think that makes sense, and I think it's probably too much of an advantage for production to make them a new camp, but it does seem like maybe there's some sort of a middle ground where that you shouldn't have to start completely from scratch, but that is what's going on here. And then
is Andrea the best liar in the history of the show?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
I think so. I think so, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Troy Zan says that she's not as smart as she thinks she is.
That was so funny, that scene. I love that scene too. I thought this episode had so many great little moments like that. And, oh, we love you, Troy Zan. Oh, that was like, it was like Candace telling Billy Garcia, oh, we love you. You know,
it was that's what so it was funny. Like. All right. Well, Troy Zan, he's in a pickle here on, fittingly, the Green Tribe, but he ends up finding his way out of it because he finds the clue to the hidden immunity idol in Shades of Jeremy and Kelly Wentworth, where he then goes and looks for the idol.
Great moment.
Were you nervous for your boy Troy Zan, Stephen?
I knew he was going to get it.
You knew he was going to get it. I thought at the end he wasn't going to get it.
It was pretty. It's a great scene. They got to do this more. Why do they just do this so infrequently? The finding the idol at the challenge situation, like, scene is always so great. Much better than the actual finding it at camp and like doing a dance and like, oh, great, he's got the idol. But the tension of like that daring last moment when they risk the pull, it's so good.
I want to see one person not get it during a challenge one time.
Yeah, or and then get what happens caught or something.
Yeah, or get caught. Or like, then what happens? Is your clue nullified? I guess then this is like your one shot to get it.
I don't know.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. I guess they're not going to give you a new clue because you screwed up the first one. I don't think you just keep getting clues until you find the idol.
But then you just like walk through the next challenge, like looking under every post.
Yeah, I don't know. It'd be an interesting question to find out the answer to. But he does find it. Another crotch idol on Survivor. It's becoming a thing, Stephen.
Was it hashtag? I didn't notice.
Yeah. Well, you know, going back to Kelly Wentworth, one of the things that I've heard her talk about in like post game interviews is that when she went to the challenge, you know, she talked about how it was a disadvantage for her because she did not have like pockets or anything.
Oh,
like
right,
that.
Yeah, right. Right. Yeah.
What did she end up doing? She had like a sweatshirt tied around her waist or something like that.
Yeah. There was some like weird, maybe she like wore her like someone's shorts or something. There was like some weird fashion choice she made for that challenge.
Right. And I think she might have even cited a medical issue to get somebody else to switch clothes. I'm not sure. I'm totally telling the story wrong. But yeah. She had to like – but here's Troy Zan and no shirt and really just the shorts. And yeah. That he probably could have used some more layers.
Yeah, you just never know what to wear for an idol grab. It's one of those like awkward social situations.
Yeah, but good on Troy Zan. That was very exciting to see that happen. But I'd like to talk a little bit about the rest of that tribe because last week, Stephen, we saw so much going on with Ozzy and Suri, and it's like, oh, why do these two have to go after each other after, you know, all the shared history that they have? But I did like that we saw Ozzy and Suri saying we need each other. I love that.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, it was a nice moment. It would be great if who wouldn't want to see that partnership? It was funny that Ozzy was like, you know what I need to do out here? I need to prove that I'm like a great survivalist.
Yes.
Like, no, what? Like fourth time and this is you're going back to the same well.
There's
you know?
Some question like, left. How good of a here. Survivalist is Ozzy?
Yeah. What?
There's some question. Who is he good at being a survivalist or not?
Yeah, exactly.
We'll figure that out.
I guess like there's probably an issue of like, you know, it's been a couple of years. I need to like prove this to myself too. But, you know.
Yeah. So going back to Troy Zan now, that he's in this 5-1 situation like we've outlined for JT. Is that right? That's it's 5-1 for him, 5-1 for mm-hmm. JT, and then the other five people are from – No, we're missing somebody.
5-1, 5-1, and 4-2.
4-2. Okay. So for Troy Zan, the issue here is when you go to tribal council, does he say anything? Can he parlay the idol or should he just play it on himself at the tribal council?
That's a good question. It's so situational. And that's what's tricky about idols or any advantage is so situational. You know, there's no like one right strategy. I mean, I would honestly say just play it on himself, right? Like, well, don't screw around with that.
Yeah. Okay. He's got the 5-1 situation, but you could.
I also think playing an idol successfully gives you like heat. You know, I think it gives you like momentum in a way where like I remember like both like when Wentworth played her idol, everyone was like, "Ooh, Wentworth! Like we should partner up with her. She seems to got stuff, something going on." She played an idol, like that was great, but that was yesterday. And my attitude was like, "That happened. Now let's like now we're here." But like other people were like, "Oh, she played an idol. Like there's something mysterious about her." So I, you know, I think that part of playing an idol on yourself is you know, overlooked sometimes.
Yeah, if they lose a challenge though, I mean, what's the harm of him just putting it around his neck at the beach and saying, "Hey, I got this idol. I'm playing it tonight. Who's with me? Who's with me?"
Right. Right. Yeah, but then, you know, he's not going to know. It's not going to what's the advantage of that? I guess that like sows dissension in the rest of the tribe.
Yeah, I guess that then what he has to worry about is Suri saying like, "Okay, well, Troyzan, you're okay, you're with us. Just give your idol to Zeke, and then we'll keep you."
Yeah. So but you're right. Like he should like pull in a couple of people. That's the right move, right? Say, "I'm playing this tonight for sure."
Yeah,
he should play it. Then
should you do that at tribal council, or you do that at the beach?
No, I think you do it in advance because then you can like get a group together and be like, "Who do we want to get rid of over here?"
You but know? Can
like,
you get ever the believe ready. Them? Okay, so what if Suri and Zeke say to you, okay, Troyzan, I don't want to mess around with the idol. We're voting for Ozzy tonight. Okay, the three of us vote Ozzy, and then all of a sudden he doesn't play his idol, and then they
you still play the idol. Like that's part of it. But like in terms of like building enough credibility and then getting then for the next week, then you've got a little bit of an alliance thing happening.
Yeah, it's interesting either way.
Yeah,
we'll see how it plays out. So maybe that'll be something that we see next week if that's the tribe, one of the two tribes that go to the tribal council. Steven, anything else before we jump into some questions?
No, I thought this was I liked this episode more than the premiere. I thought this was such a fun episode.
Oh, really? I think I still like the premiere more, but I think that there was a lot of fun stuff here.
Yeah, and you know, who's getting the cesty?
Of who played the worst in this episode?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure. Maybe Ty? I mean, I don't know if there was anybody who played particularly poorly.
I mean, the thing we should talk about with Ty is the way, yes, everyone like correctly identified his relationship with Caleb, but he really didn't do himself any favors by he was like jumping in to defend Caleb before Caleb even needed defending.
Right. And as much as I love Ty, especially as a character, I do think that a lot of these returning players are sort of having their way with him right now. This is not, you know, the like it's not amateur hour anymore.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And it's also worth noticing that. We talked about it. Okay. Go.
All right, Steven, why don't you get us started with these questions from Abigail?
Abigail wants to know, why does Ty keep exposing his pregame alliances? Does he not know this is a bad move?
Yeah, well, you know what? I don't know if anybody's surprised by the pregame alliance between Ty and Caleb, but I thought this was particularly bad, Steven. On the mat, Jeff Probst calls it out. He's like, "All right, Ty, you and Caleb back together. How does that feel?" And they started talking about, "Oh, well, I don't know. Are we going to start kissing now?" Back to, like, it's, I think you got to say, even if nobody believes it, hey, Jeff, this is a new game. You know, I'm happy to see him, but, you know, this is Ko-Rong's, like, not like, "Hey, when are we going to get back to that stolen kiss?"
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I totally agree. At least pay lip service. People.
Whoa!
Can
no, I said no.
Believing it.
No lip service. No kissing, Steven.
You're on fire tonight.
Okay. All right. Too much coffee, I guess. Yeah. Lori wants to know: are we surprised that Brad is into interior decorating, and why is that weird?
I love that. What a great
shock
moment.
Of the night.
He's into antiquing, into interior decorating. He's putting baubles around the shelter.
Yeah. You know, Brad, not only like, "Okay, I want to make our house look nice." No, I'm into antiquing. Who knew? If somebody would have told me in 2017, we'd find out that Brad Culpepper was going to be talking about his love of antiquing, I would have said $1 million. No way. Not a chance in hell. And who knew? This is Brad Culpepper's hidden talent.
He's a sensitive new age guy.
Yeah. Brad the Antiquer. Maybe maybe we can get him on an antiquing podcast at some point.
Do you have an antiquing podcast?
Not yet.
Yeah, no, I guess. Wait, I guess
what's it called?
He was great, right? Like, isn't Brad, come on, Brad has to get the award for most improved.
I mean, so far, I mean, he's night and day. He's a different person.
It does seem like he's a different person.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't seen him, have one sort of – I mean, I guess if you really tried to stretch, you could say, okay, well, you know, Brad has gotten rid of a alpha male that he doesn't have complete trust in like a John Cody. This is a little bit – but his temperament is completely night and day.
Yeah.
Okay. Steven, what about Matt?
Matt wants to know, is the tribe with Malk, JT, Jeff, Aubrey, Michaela, and Sandra the greatest of all time? He wrote it as GOAT, a little bit apt. Mm-hmm. The new Mana tribe, the worst returning tribe ever. Mana is the tribe with Brad, Sierra, Caleb, Haley, Debbie, and who's the last? Oh, and Ty. It's a tribe full of the people, you know, like... I don't want to be like who should have been come back, but it's basically a tribe full of people who were Dalton Ross observed this to me. It's his observation.
Yeah.
You were like, what? Who are these people? Like, it was like the who are these
right.
people?
Of the two tribes, you know, if we just had a challenge tonight and the immunity challenge was, all right, this is going to be a survivor first, survivor history, game changing twist. Whatever tribe loses this challenge, all six of you are out of the game.
Oh, no.
Would anybody be complaining yeah. tonight, Steven? Would Survivor fans be like going to the Survivor Facebook page, outrage? This is the worst. This is a disaster. Never watching this show again.
Yeah, but it's crazy how good the Nuku tribe, Red Tribe, is.
Yeah.
With JT, Malcolm,
the other two are
Michaela,
really stacked. The other two
Sandra,
are really stacked. Yeah.
Larner, what?
The other two are really stacked.
No, but I mean, that tribe in specific is like such an epic tribe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And again, greatest tribe ever. I mean, Steven and I have talked about this. Give me the villains tribe still any day. It's hard to compare tribes of 10 versus tribes of 6.
That's a strong 6-person tribe. I don't know if pound for pound, anybody, you know.
I go back to Mogo Mogo also with Lex and Colby and Hatch and Kathy.
Yeah, Kathy.
That's a great. I mean, even if you look at Saboga too, you know, between Rupert, Rudy, Tina, Jerry, Ethan.
Yeah. Genelos. This is up there, though. This has got to be up there.
Yeah. It's very
two
good.
Two winners.
It's very good.
Two winners.
It's a good tribe. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, that new Bion wasn't so bad, right?
Well, that's my personal favorite tribe.
I mean, you had Spencer, Jeremy,
all the greats,
Kimmy,
Wigglesworth, Kelly Wigglesworth,
Monica Padilla,
Kimmy Kappenberg,
a great group. Okay.
Yeah. Emily Taylor wants to know. Oh, go ahead.
Did Debbie just say that the tribe is a dictatorship where majority rules? Isn't that a democracy?
That's really funny.
Yeah.
That's great. Well observed, Emmeline.
If you think that Debbie doesn't have a functioning understanding of how government works, then you have another thing coming, okay? Maybe Haley Ford explained all the branches of government to Debbie afterwards.
You know, sometimes, though, the majority can become like a dictatorship, the tyranny of the majority. And that's what, you know, the Federalists really were trying to prevent.
Okay. All right, Steve.
Jonah Dwyer wants to know, does Caleb get voted out tonight if Ty isn't on his tribe? Seemed like Ty was an anchor for him.
Well, that'd be interesting. So this, say it's the same exact tribe and say Zeke is there instead of Ty. It's interesting because I think you probably are going to need his strength in the challenges. I mean, did this group, I mean, we've talked about it only in terms of alliances, but can Mana win a challenge against this group?
Well, it's crazy that they went under that thing. I didn't understand that at all. What were they doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did that? There must have been some rationale, but like, I don't know what that would have been. Why would you go, instead of going like immediately over, why would you go through that thing?
Yeah. I got to watch it again and see which group was doing that part of, what does Jeff call that? A grumble? I don't know what
I think that's a dirty word.
I don't know what a gramble, a gramble.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll see how that plays on the second viewing. But yeah, I mean, this is a weaker tribe to begin with, and now I mean, Brad and Ty are, you know, your two guys that you're going to send out to potentially do something physical. And then even in terms of the women, Debbie is I guess, solid in the challenges. Sierra is not a slouch, but we've seen Haley struggling in these challenges. So
I don't know. They were right there, and they had a big loss of time because of that, the Gramble. Like, they almost came in. They almost won immunity that challenge.
Looks but
like they
were that was with Beast away. Mode Cowboy.
No, I'm saying, though, but if they hadn't done the Gramble wrong, assuming it is a Gramble, I think they would have easily won immunity. Like, they lost a ton of time going through instead of over that thing, and they still almost won the challenge. I don't think this group is, like, out by any stretch of the imagination. And the Beast Mode Cowboy part was where they lost time.
Yeah. Okay. I guess when you were Beast Mode, I guess you just try to go through the objects. You don't really try to, like, you know, yeah, evade them. It. He was too much Beast Mode. All right, yeah. Steven, what about Laura Survivor?
Laura Survivor, I'm slightly biased because Troy is my winner pick, but did we just see an idol moment reminiscent of Jeremy Collins? # winners edit.
Other than that, they found an idol. I don't know necessarily what is the similarity between Troy Zan and Jeremy Collins, other than they both found an idol.
Yeah, there was no like heartbreaking emotional callback to his pregnant wife at home.
Yeah. I mean, sure, I guess so, that Jeremy found an idol, Kelly found an idol, and Troy Zan found an idol. But I think that's a stretch to say anything more than that at this point. Matthew wants to know, do you have a new level of appreciation for Culpepper and Troy Zan after tonight's episode? Well, Steven has always been an unapologetic Troy Zan fan.
Yeah. Especially Troy. Culpepper, I thought, really elevated himself. But this is the Troy I've always known. The superb, great, funny, observant Troy.
But I think that what we pride ourselves on is we're going to call it like we see it. If Brad is acting like an idiot and fighting with people, we're going to say that's bad. If he's playing smart and not losing his cool, we're going to say that's good. So Brad's doing a great job so far, and Troy Zan is doing a great job so far.
So why won't you say who's being dumb?
Who's being dumb out of who?
You're refusing to give a sesti.
I said Ty. I didn't think anybody played particularly poorly, but I think if you were going to say anybody.
Can we talk about the rest of that tribe that was talking about how they needed to follow Troy Zan around while nobody was following Troy Zan around?
Well, Ozzy was like, yeah, well, he's not going to be so obvious and just like go out and look for the idol. And it's funny that you have Andrea there. That's like one of Andrea's superpowers is following people around while they look for the idol.
Isn't in her Gordon Holmes interview, she's like, I invented the follow someone like a puppy strategy.
She's a game changer. That's why.
That's what
she did. But yeah, that she was like, no, I'm off today. I'm off for that.
You know, yeah.
Yeah,
The juxtaposition was great. The way that, like, I mean, who knows if this conversation was happening at the exact same time, but the way it was presented as them all being like, yeah, we got to follow him. And he's like literally by himself.
Yeah, they left him alone.
That's what I don't understand. Why is anyone letting JT go by himself? Why isn't someone with Troy all the time? I follow Joe around for like a puppy dog. I, you know, took Andrea's game changing puppy dog strategy and it was like, just like hanging out with Joe on the island. I didn't want to do that. Why isn't someone with Troy Zan and JT at all times? Your entire game could depend upon it.
Well, the Troy Zan thing is pretty unforgivable. Like, JT was like, okay, well, let me just go get that tool from the beach.
I'll come with you, JT, to show me where the pliers are.
I'm going to go swim an extra half mile to make sure JT doesn't get the...
Yes, with your $1 million on the line? Yes, you say, okay, like, you know what, JT? You hang out, I'll get the pliers.
You could go and say and go swim after JT, and then the other four people on the raft are like, hey, why did... Rob just go after JT. You think that they have an alliance? Yeah, let's vote him
out. That's true. That's very true.
You know, so you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. But don't expend all that energy and go and swim an extra mile to go chase
JT. I just think it's crazy that these people are letting these people just like walk around
The Troy Zan thing. I'm with you 100% on the Troy Zan thing.
Yeah.
But again, but the same sort of thing. Like, you follow Troy Zan around, your new tribe just got together. And it was like, hey, why is Rob going after Troy Zan? Do you think that they have a pregame alliance?
Take turns.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know,
I guess so.
Swapping out.
All right.
Okay.
Jeff Varner says, my first immunity win since October 2000. No lie. So good job. Congratulations to Jeff Varner.
Is that true? I guess so.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. Was that a real Jeff Varner tweet?
Yeah, real Jeff Varner tweet. So good job by Jeff Varner avoiding a tribal council for once. Yeah, Scott St. Pierre says verified. Verified Jeff Varner. Yeah. Survivor trust, Central, trust how many All-Star seasons they have to play before people realize that non-threats like Haley are actually the biggest threats?
But this is a hard one because, like, everyone is a threat. Who do you say is, you know, you vote out Haley and then Caleb's around. And you're like, well, isn't he obviously a threat? Like, every person you're voting out could win, except there's a couple people.
But it's,
like,
Survivor, you know, threats versus threats.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. One or two more. Let's.
Amanda Fallon wants to know: was that the best move we've ever seen?
When
Ty make?
Where?
No.
What?
No,
what? Voting against Caleb?
Yeah, not a great move for Ty. I mean, voting against him was right because if the rest of the tribe is voting him out, but not great for Ty to lose his best ally.
Yeah. No. It was a good move for Ty to get on board and, you know, not fight City Hall, but I thought that he did expose his hand there. Again, it wasn't a disaster for Ty, but if he really wanted to save Caleb, he definitely went about it the wrong way.
Yeah.
Okay, let's do one more question with Steven here tonight. Finan Williams, do you think Aubrey's swaying Ty is less impressive in Ko Rong now that we've seen anyone can sway Ty? That's not fair.
Wasn't there that thing, though, like the last person who talks to Ty is the one? Was that Ty or was that somebody else? I feel like there was like a thing with like whoever talks to Ty last.
Yeah, no, that like definitely was a thing from Survivor Ko Rong. And so, you know, but you like... He's always, even if that's what it is, like everybody gets a chance to talk to him. So there is a sort of skill in being that person. So I reject that. Don't take that away from Aubrey.
Well, don't take that away from Brad either. You know, don't be like, well, Brad, you know, both of them. Good on both of them. Good on everybody. We all get a cookie.
Yes, that's right. Participation trophy for everybody, Steven?
I think so.
All right. So where'd you give the fishy to Brad?
Fishy to Brad. I thought about also giving JT a fishy, but I thought I can't. I just gave, you know, I can't be that. Can't just give fishies away. People take these rewards incredibly seriously,
that's
as they should. As they should, yeah.
Okay. All right. So fishy for Brad Culpepper. Probably his first, I would think, right?
Actually, I thought it was two, but no. I looked back into the chart, and I gave him a fishy in Blood versus Water that he shared with Monica. Yeah, I think it was the episode he went home to. Oh, no. Yeah, I think it was the episode he went home to. For burning the idol clue.
What a tease for Brad to put him on the Mana tribe that he has to always say the first half of his beloved Monica's name.
Yeah, but Mana can. You know, Mana can. Mana can do it. Mm-hmm. Mana can.
Yeah.
Mana can and do it. Check out my blog tomorrow. I'm pretty happy with it because I sort of stepped through this conversation that Brad had with Ty and, you know, talk about why the things he was saying are so effective and what makes what. Like, I think he pulled some really smart, subtle stuff. And, you know, so I talk about that in the blog. So check it out.
Also, I think not to be overlooked, I wonder if there's some sort of a lawyer connection. It does seem as though the Survivor lawyers can never get on the same page between Cass and Andrew Savage. And we saw last season with Jessica Lewis and Chris. But here we have Brad, the lawyer, and Haley, the young up-and-coming lawyer. And it does seem, I noticed that after Caleb got voted out, I saw Brad put his hand on Haley's shoulder. So I wonder if there's a little bit of a connection there.
Because they made physical contact? I mean, I agree that there's probably some lawyer thing there.
Right. That's what I'm saying. And I think that the physical contact was the evidence of that, Stephen.
Okay. All right.
And he also complimented her as a lawyer at the tribal council.
Yeah, that was fun. I like that. That was a good moment.
So dismissive. Hope you work this out of your system by next week.
Yeah. No, what? This is what, you know, we're judging. It's like you said, if someone's saying something dumb, we have to respond to that. And I feel that way about you, too.
OK, thank you very much. All right. So follow Steven on Twitter. He's at Steven Fishback. Of course, jam packed week coming up once again. We will talk with Johnny Fairplay on Thursday. So get your questions in. You can also email us survivor@robhaswebsite.com if you have some more long form questions and get your voicemails in for Nicole. robhaswebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. And then we'll have a wiggle room. I'll talk to David Bloomberg about why Caleb lost. And I'll have an exit interview with Beast Mode Cowboy coming up on Thursday before I head to New York to see Stephen
Fishback. Live know-it-alls!
Live know-it-alls.
Oh my God. So excited.
It's happening, Stephen. So all very
exciting. It's happening.
Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Go to robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. And we really do appreciate, especially Stephen, he gets very excited when you leave us feedback and star ratings in the iTunes store.
Oh, I love the star ratings. I do really like the star ratings.
Yes, a fishy for every star rating. And it helps more and more people find the podcast when you do that. So we greatly appreciate it. robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. Stephen, anything else tonight?
This was a good one. I love this episode.
Okay. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. And Stephen, looking forward to seeing you in person next week for a double Tribal Council episode of Survivor.
Oh, my God.
Very exciting. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.